Today on More to Life, Fantastic Family. We're going to help you strengthen your family relationships in the new year. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today on More to Life, Fantastic Family. In this new year, we're going to help you strengthen those family relationships and take your family life to the next level. How would you like to make your family relationships better in the coming weeks and months? Would you like to feel more like a team? You want to decrease conflict? Want to improve your communication or feel more respected by your spouse or kids? Maybe you feel like you need to be more on the same page with your faith or values, or find more ways to enjoy each other's company. Whatever it is that you want to do to get more out of your family life, we want to help you get it today on More to Life.
Well, everything you want to do except run away from home. And listen, I'm going to be straight up. There are days, right? Sometimes they string together for a long time where you're just saying, I'm done. I'm on the next plane out of here. I'm done. I can't do this. Don't give me this Fantastic Family, Popchak. You guys are just like living in Brady Bunch world. You have no. We're here to tell you right now, we get it. Okay? You put a bunch of sinful fallen people, in other words, people, because we're all sinful and fallen, right? Even though thank God we have the grace of God and redemption and the sacraments, we're still sinful people. You stick us all under one roof and you say, make it work, and try to make it great and holy and wonderful. That is work. It requires a lot of skills, a lot of work, a lot of commitment. But when you do those things, the payoff is amazing. You can have a fantastic family. Maybe not every day of the week. You're going to have your ups and downs. But that, and when you get through those moments and you make it a little bit better, you're a whole lot more fantastic. And not just in an Instagrammable kind of way, but in a way that draws you closer to God, that helps you to know who you were created to be more, that puts you in His right order and helps you to have some of that grace and peace. And you know what? It's okay to admit it's hard. Because God is not the God who says, I'm going to stand over here and watch you now. Go prove yourself. No. He lets us go through these things and invites us to call on Him. To invite Him into our hearts, into our lives, into our brokenness, into our families. Because it's only through His grace that anything can get any better or become great. Through His grace, but we have to open our hearts to that, and then we have to take those marching orders and do the stuff, as hard as it is, that He's asking us to do to transform ourselves, our families, and through that, the world.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us how you'd like to make your family relationships stronger, better, more fulfilling in the coming weeks and months. Would you like to feel more like a team? Do a better job of sharing your faith and values with your spouse and kids. Find ways to decrease conflict, improve communication, or enjoy each other's company more. Whatever those obstacles are to being the family that you want to be, let's talk about finding a plan forward. 877-573-7825.
And this is certainly about the people who are living under your roof that are your family. It's also about that extended family that might be, there's stuff you're tripping over together, whether that's affecting your nuclear family under your roof, because everything would be fine if grandma wasn't so cranky, or everything would be fine if uncle wasn't using drugs or whatever.
You get through Christmas, you get through the New Year holiday, the time with the family, and you're like, oh, thank God that's over.
I don't have to look at it again for a year.
But as we were sharing with you before the holidays, now's the time to start following up on all that stuff that you said. We kind of discouraged you from starting any major conflicts over the holidays. We said, build rapport in those family meetings.
We did and say now, that to several listeners.
And now take the rest of the year to kind of work on that stuff. So next year, when you get together, it won't be the same issue.
Or, as one of our listeners said yesterday, as she was trying to deal with stuff with her husband, her words, Easter's coming. we haven't even made it through the entirety of Christmas, and this poor listener's saying, Easter's coming, I have to do this again. Greg, you're absolutely right. Let's not wait for the big holidays where we have to be with these people, where we want it to be beautiful, where we want it to be good, and just think it's going to happen in those few days. Let's work on these things now.
And let's remember, that family life is a ministry. We have a tendency to forget that. We think that ministry is the churchy stuff we do at church, that ministry is all the things we do when we leave the house. But the theology of the body reminds us that marriage and family life in particular are the most important ministries that we as lay people especially can be involved in, because that's how we build the kingdom of God. The church teaches us that families are the foundation, the building block of civilization. If we want to have a just, loving, godly, graceful world, we need to start at home, building those relationships. It doesn't profit us at all to go out and save the world but have our own house be burning down, metaphorically speaking. So what do we need to do to get our family life, our household, our extended family to a better place? Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825 on our show today titled Fantastic Families, where we're helping you strengthen your family relationships both under your roof and in the extended family in this new year. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
And maybe you were just saying, it's okay, Christmas is over, put the kids back in school, I don't have to worry about it again until at least the weekend, maybe later. Maybe you're like me and you're a homeschooling family and you're saying, I've got to start again in earnest, and how am I going to do this? Wherever you are with those relationships with your family members, whether they're tiny little things that are driving you crazy or those really big things you're not sure you can overcome, we're here to give you new skills to get you attached to God's grace more and to help you find your way through it in a better place.
877-573-7825. Let's say your concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls and questions here. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for the gift of family life. Lord, even though family is a blessing, there are often many struggles that we encounter, both in our relationship with our spouse and kids, and in our extended families. We're all broken, sinful people, and we're all struggling to be who you are calling us to be, and often we step on each other's toes and trip over each other on the road to being those people and living in that way. And so we bring to you our families today, Lord, and we ask you to give us the wisdom, the grace, the courage, and the persistence to be able to learn to respond to each other with the love that comes from your heart, especially in those times when we're feeling frustrated or impatient or even struggling with conflict or feelings of disrespect. Help us to know how to respond in ways that glorify you and help our whole family draw closer together in your love. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, Fantastic Families. We're helping you strengthen your family relationships in the new year. How would you like to make your family, either the family that lives under your roof or even your extended family, better, stronger, more loving, more graceful in the coming months? We have the technology. We can rebuild it. Give us a call. 877 877- 573-7825. 573-7825. You know, the theology of the body reminds us that families are meant to be schools of love and virtue where we learn how to live life as a gift. And that's a very different vision of family life than the world has, right? Because the world tends to define family as pretty much any group of people that lives under the same roof and shares a data plan. But God wants more for us. You know, he wants to use your family to satisfy the longing in your heart for a love that is honest and strong and joyful and warm and deep. And he wants to use your family to be able to be a physical sign of his love in the world. And that's tall order, both of those things. But we can help you do it through God's grace. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Sonia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona.
Hey, Sonia. Welcome to More to Life.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Go ahead. I can't hear you.
Go ahead. Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Great. What can we do for you?
I'm just trying. My husband is not Catholic. He's every religion except Catholic, you know, Protestant, Pentecostal, everything. But he does go to church with us. But when I got married, I was outside the church and didn't know a lot of the rules and why. It turns out he is married from a previous, and he won't even consider getting an annulment. I've tried, you know, talking to him. I've tried showing the catechism, having priests talk to him. But he just says that he's not getting an annulment because his marriage was valid. But he got a divorce, and they believe that.
What is that?
Adultery
isn't
for divorce.
So let me back up just a second, because a lot of times people get tripped up on this whole thing about marriage being valid or invalid. What does that mean to you? Just so I understand what you mean by the word valid or invalid.
Valid, it means that he is free to remarry.
Yeah, but I mean, but what makes a marriage valid or invalid in your eyes, as far as the church is
concerned? That you were committed to being married no matter what. And open to having children.
Okay. Yeah, and that's all true. But I think where people get hung up on that is this, okay? What people don't appreciate, and we talk about this actually in our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, where marriage at the very least involves, I'm talking about civil marriage here, right? At the very least involves making the promise to claim your kids and share your stuff, okay? But beyond that, different churches or different venues for getting married ask for different kinds of promises from the couple. And the church asks for some very specific promises from the couple. To say that a marriage is valid or invalid is to say that the couple has made the promise, is to ask, has the couple made the promises that the church specifically asks that couple to make? You know, has the couple agreed to help each other become everything God created each other to be in this life and help each other get to heaven in the next, essentially, right? As well as sharing your kids and claiming your stuff and being open to life and all that, right? Has the couple made those promises the church requires of a couple to be married? That's what ultimately determines whether a marriage is valid or invalid. So that's going to be, I think it would be helpful to go over that with your husband, number one. Because just sort of pointing to the rules, especially if he's not Catholic, can get anybody's back up and say, well, why do I need to follow those rules? Because I'm not, those aren't my rules, those are your rules, right? But being able to say, look, it's really about the promises that you made. You didn't make the same kind of promises that you made to your ex-wife that you made to me. And the church requires us to make certain promises to each other, and that's really what this is about. You know, that you're free to make those promises to me, and it's really important that we talk about that. Now, the bigger issue, though, you say you've tried to address this with him, that your pastor's tried to talk about it with him, and he just shuts you all down. My concern here is that this is not a religious problem. This is not a religion problem. This is a respect issue. See, because even if he's not Catholic and doesn't see things the way you see them, if he loves you and respects you, he works hard to try to see what's important to you and see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things that you find true, good, and beautiful. He might not love it, but he at least loves you and wants to understand where you're coming from with this. The fact that he doesn't do that says that he doesn't respect you to me. Okay, and that is a bigger marital problem that I think you're going to need to have a serious look at, because this isn't just about getting the marriage right, quote-unquote, by crossing your T's and dotting your I's canonically. This is about making sure that you have a healthy, godly marriage in the first place. And you don't right now, because he doesn't respect you. And it's really important to address that issue. And I want you to reframe this whole annulment question as a respect question and say to him, look, I love you, and I get that you have concerns about this and you don't completely understand it. That's not really the problem. The problem is that you don't think my opinion is valid or the things that I value are important. And that really cuts to the heart of our marriage. And so I've made an appointment with a good, faithful marriage counselor, and I need you to come with me to work this stuff out. Okay, so that's number one. The other issue, though, you say here, it says on the board that, you know, you on the one hand, you can't talk to him about it because he gets angry, which I've already addressed, and then you can't receive communion because of the situation. You could actually receive communion if you agreed for now to live as brother and sister until he does work through the annulment process, which I think is a valid and legitimate and, in fact, frankly, important thing for you to do to drive this whole point home. To say, look, honey, I love you, but you don't respect me, and I cannot be intimate with a man who does not respect me enough to take this on. And that would allow you then to receive communion and be able to set the boundaries you need to set to make this marriage healthy and worthy of being blessed by the church, frankly. So I need you to look hard at that. And I want you to pick up a copy of For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, to talk through what you have a right to expect from Catholic marriage and how to challenge your husband to be ready to live in that marriage that would be worth being blessed by the church. And if there's more that we can do to support you in that journey, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Sonia, I'm sorry that you're struggling with this. I'm grateful for your witness and for your willingness to take this on. I'm inviting you to take that next step to work toward a healthier relationship that is worthy of being blessed by the church by setting these appropriate boundaries and insisting that the deeper work on the respect in the relationship be done so that you guys can really be one in every way. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about fantastic families. What do you want to see happening in your nuclear or extended family in the coming weeks and months? We want to help you live the family life that God has in His heart for you. Let's talk it out together. Again, the number 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She's going to be sharing with us some great tips for having a more fantastic family in the new year. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Who is responsible for the death of Jesus? The Catholic Catechism emphatically states that neither the Jews of Jesus' time nor the Jews of our time should be considered rejected or accursed as a consequence of the Lord's Passion. Not all the Jews in the religious hierarchy were opposed to him. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were two prominent men who were secret disciples. The Acts of the Apostles notes that many priests were obedient to the faith, and some belonged to the party of the Pharisees. St. James reported to St. Paul that many thousands believed in the Lord and were also zealous for the law. The religious authorities were not in unanimity as to what to do with Jesus. The Pharisees threatened excommunication to his followers. The Sanhedrin, having declared him a blasphemer but without power to execute, turned him over to the Romans as a political anarchist. The Catechism cautions we must leave judgment as to the participants in Jesus' trial to God alone. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Well, Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about fantastic families. What would you like to see changing, improving, growing in your family in the coming weeks and months? How would you like to make those family relationships better or stronger in the new year? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club. She's a mom of 11, and she's here to talk to us about some great suggestions for having a stronger, healthier family in the new year. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
We're so glad to have you with us. You know, Rachel, I think we all know, we're smart enough, every single one of us, to know that family life can be challenging sometimes. And the more people you add to it, the more blessings come, but also the more challenges with all those different personalities. How do you and Matt do that? And I know you've committed yourself to having the best family possible. What steps do you take?
Well, I think the first thing that has to happen is you have to decide to do it. And I mean that honestly. I know that when Matt and I, when our family was getting larger, I can remember many nights going to bed going, but it shouldn't be this hard. And Matt and I had some honest talks about what did we see that was going wrong. And for us, it was volume issues. It was using screaming as a parenting choice instead of other options. And so we made a commitment to it. We did. We put ourselves before God and said, Lord, we want to have a holy family. Not unlike Nazareth. Help us to do it. And once we said it out loud to each other and then introduced that idea to the kids, my heart changed. I thought, this is possible. God wants us to be happier than we are. And so he's going to help us get there. And he did. I think part of it was getting the kids on board as well. It wasn't enough for Matt and I to want to do it, but we told our kids we wanted to. That meant some changes in how we parented, how we talked to each other. I had to get myself more organized. I had to make some decisions as the at-home mom. But Matt and I also got committed to each other in a different way, to prayer together as a couple every night, even if it was just a kind of sleepy Our Father holding hands. Those then began making changes every day in the life that we had together as a family.
So these commitments that you've made with Matt and that you've changed things, what are some of the top things that you've done that you think other families can put into their lives to help them?
I think the first thing that made the biggest difference in us was the volume in the house. Matt and I made a conscious decision to reduce how much we were screaming as parenting rather than discipling and leading our kids, talking to our kids, telling them what to expect beforehand. So it meant more talking to our children, preparing them. This is what I expect from you. Do you know how to do it? Teaching our kids. The other thing that we expected from our kids was how they would speak to each other. No name calling. No being mean to each other on purpose. Once the volume came down in our house, we were able then to really see some other problems that needed tweaking, like irresponsibility, avoiding chores, those kind of things. But when it was so loud in the house, that, you know, became a tornado for emotions. The other thing that Matt and I did was we committed ourselves to specific saints. We have asked Margaret of Scotland and her husband Malcolm to watch over us, certainly the Holy Family. You know, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, make us a holy family. You might want to find a slogan to put on your refrigerator or over top of your mantelpiece, a scripture verse that will be your battle cry, your mantra that you'll say as a family, you know, that we want to be holy as God is holy. Or a saint for your own family that can be a role model to you to say, this is who we're aspiring to be and to know it's possible.
I love the fact that what you're really pointing out here is that you made becoming the family you want to be, this holy family, A, intentional, and B, you did it incrementally. So you added prayer. You figured out the top things that you needed to get done, and you all came to agreements about it. And then you implemented other things and evaluated along the way as things got brushed aside, and you said, well, we've conquered this one. what else do we need to do to get us to where we want to go? And you all kind of did it together. I think those are very important points.
Yeah, you know what? As we wrap up here, we got about a minute left. You mentioned you started this segment with the importance of couple and family prayer. What would you say to those couples and families who maybe have not been praying together and maybe are a little intimidated by the idea? Where would they start, and what encouragement would you have for them?
The biggest encouragement I would say is find just one prayer, like Lisa said, incremental. Tackling a family rosary is probably too much if you haven't prayed together as a family. But just before you all go to bed, before the youngest goes to bed perhaps, gather in the living room and say an Our Father together, or a Hail Mary, or just pray from your heart. And then the evening goes on. I would certainly add meal prayer. Whenever you're having a family meal together, say grace together, thanking God for the meal he's given you, and using that as an opportunity to introduce your family to other prayers.
And, you know, make a point, I'm just going to add this, make a point of not just saying the words, but really asking everybody to bring their hearts to it as well, and think about what you're saying, and most importantly, how what you're saying needs to impact the way you're relating to each other. Rachel, I want to thank you so much for being with us and sharing those insights. Really good stuff. And, of course, if folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, they can go to BeholdPublications.com. That's BeholdPublications.com. Have a great weekend, Rachel. God bless you.
God bless.
And when we come back, we're taking more of your calls about your family on our show titled Fantastic Families. How would you like to see your family relationships strengthening, improving, getting more enjoyable in the coming weeks and months? Let's talk it out together and find those ways forward on today's edition of More to Life. 877-573-7825. We'll be back right after this.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Finding a doctor who respects your faith can be hard. Consider Emmaus Health, providing primary care and mental health services for the entire family. Now, in conjunction with St. Joseph Mercy Health System, Emmaus is proud to introduce Dr. Steve Hickner, an OBGYN who is NAPRO-trained to manage infertility. Call 734-930-4020. Visit our website at emmaushealth.org or come visit us at Domino's Farms Lobby L. Faith-inspired, dignity-affirming health care. Emmaus Health.
Light of the East. Weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, January 1st and New Year's resolutions. January 1st and the Feast of the Circumcision of Christ. One a holiday, the other a holy day. Coincidence or providence?
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9. On 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Piles of research show that what kids really need to grow up happy and healthy is you, the parents. Being an involved, loving, present parent who builds a trust-filled relationship with your child is the first line of defense between him and the rest of the world. But this has to start at the very beginning. Respond to your infant or toddler's needs promptly, generously, and consistently. Don't make them work for your attention. Trust the feeding and sleeping schedule God built into your unique and unrepeatable baby, instead of imposing arbitrary schedules on your child. Prompt, generous, and consistent response to your child's needs will lay the foundation for a strong parent-child relationship from the start. and allow you to grow in virtue by practicing heroic, self-donative love. You are your child's best hope for a healthy life full of joy. For more on raising happy, healthy kids, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we're talking about fantastic families on today's show. What would you like to see changing in your family life in the coming weeks and months? What do you need to feel more like a team, to enjoy each other's company more, to decrease that conflict and improve the communication and rapport that you have in your house? Let's talk it out together and find some good ways forward. 877-573-7825.
Right now, we're talking with Matt, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maine.
Hey, Matt. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thank you. So in this new year, we'd like my wife and I would like to kind of improve our relationship with our 8-year-old son.
Okay.
He acts out a lot of name calling, throwing things. He's tries to upset me by calling me guy instead of dad. He's very emotional, even though I see him enjoying things like school and extracurricular activities. He's regularly telling me he hates school, he wants to quit scouts, he wants to quit basketball. One minute he's screaming and throwing things, the next minute he wants to pray and cuddle at bedtime. So he has these really drastic switches in personality and attitude, and that concerns us.
Yeah.
My question is really, when is the right time to seek a counselor, and what type? Because, you know, our niece went to see a counselor. They quickly put her on meds. They gave her a lot of confusing ideas about gender. And So I hear you talk about like a marriage-friendly counselor for couples. What terms should we look for like finding a good Christian counselor for a child? And even if that's the right direction.
Can I? Yeah, no, I think it might be, and I'll speak to that in just a minute. But let me just ask, are there times when do you see him acting out this way the most? What tends to trigger this?
I don't know. It goes in cycles. He could have 3 really bad days where everything we do seems to upset him. He really has a very negative attitude, more specifically towards me than towards my wife. He'll call me, you know, jerk face all the time. And
how do you handle this stuff? When he does all this, what do you guys do with it?
Well, you know, we don't over-the-top discipline, you know, but we will take away screen time or television. We both support each other when he's talking disrespectfully to each other and stand up for ourselves. But I know for myself personally, I do try to brush it off a little bit because it's so persistent all the time. You know, I feel like I'm overreacting if I'm dealing with it too much.
All right. Well,
but
thanks.
Then, like, we reset, you know, so we'll do a reset, and then we might be good for 24 hours. And
what
then,
does that mean? What is a reset?
You know, I hold out my hand like a button, and he taps my hand, and you know, all right, we're going to reset, and, you know, we can't, you know, everything seems to calm down. Everything seems to be cool for maybe a day or so, maybe a couple hours.
Well, look, here's the thing. I want to speak to your question about counseling in just a minute, but I want to give you something to maybe work off of even just now. What people don't appreciate is that kids misbehave, or kids' misbehavior is a result of what we're going to call dysregulation. All right, when a kid is acting appropriately, that means they're all the cylinders in their brain are working on full. Okay, so they might be having emotional reactions to things, but their thinking brain is still turned on. So their thinking brain and their emotional brain are talking to each other, and so their emotional brain might say, "I want to have a tantrum right now," but their thinking brain says, "Ah, but this would be a better way to handle it," and they get themselves under control, and then they do what you're asking them to do. That's when things are working properly. When they're dysregulated, their emotional brain overwhelms their thinking brain. And the emotional brain that's screaming, "Let's have a tantrum right now," or "Let's call dad a name," or "Let's do this bad thing," overwhelms the thinking brain, and the thinking brain literally goes offline. You could actually watch this happen on a functional PET scan, for example, or functional MRI, where the cortex, the thinking brain, would go dark, and the limbic system, the emotional brain, lights up like a Christmas tree. And at that point, the kid's dysregulated, and they don't have any control over their behavior. They're just doing stuff, right? as they mature, what happens is the cortex in any human being gets stronger. It grows stronger all the way through adulthood. Okay? And as our cortex, our thinking brain, gets stronger, it does a better job of mediating those emotional impulses from the limbic system. There's a lot you can do as parents, though, to help that process along. Because what you're telling me right now is you got a kid who's got a very well-developed limbic system, has got a lot of emotions, but his thinking brain doesn't handle that emotional tidal wave as well as it needs to. And one great way to manage that is by teaching him what to do instead of just giving consequences. Because what's happening, I mean, it's fine to give the consequences you're giving. You can do that if you want. But it doesn't teach him anything, okay? So, you know, taking away his television or taking away, you know, privileges or whatever, it gets the point across that you're displeased with his behavior, and that's fine. That can be an important message to send. But an even more important message to send is, okay, so when you get frustrated, how can you express yourself? What do you need to do instead? Now let's role play that. I want you to pretend, kid, that you are upset with me. How can you say that instead? Instead of calling Dad jerk face, you're going to say, Dad, I'm really angry right now. Now, I can literally hear listeners' eyes rolling right now when I say this, but I'm telling you, it works amazingly well. Because what you're doing is you're teaching your child what to do instead of just saying, stop doing that, and then hoping that they'll figure out what to do instead. Especially when you have a kid who has as strong emotional reactions as your son does, those kids don't do a good job of figuring out what to do when you just tell them, don't do that. You have to literally walk them through what you want to see them do instead. So chances are pretty good that what you're going to need to do whenever he's being this way is you need to use timeout, but in a specific way that we talk about in Parenting with Grace. And I'd really encourage you to pick that up, because it'll give you a really good discipline system that'll help you get a handle on this stuff. But the timeout, what I mean by that is you send him to his room to calm down, right? But he can't come out until he can do four things. One, he can tell you what he did wrong. Two, he can give you a sincere apology, not just a, sorry. No, I'm sorry. If that's the way it's going to be, I'll be back in 5 more minutes. Think about it. So he tells you what he does wrong, gives you a sincere apology, either can tell you what he needed to do differently or is willing to work with you to figure that out, number three. And number four, is able to role play it with you. When he can do those four things, he is regulated enough to come back into the family. Until then, he's still dysregulated, and anything will set him off. So this happens a lot where parents will say, oh, you know, I sent him a timeout, and then 30 seconds later, he was back in timeout. Or half an hour later, he was back in timeout. 45 minutes later, I was taking stuff away. That's because they let the kid off too soon, before he was regulated, and before he was back in rapport with mom and dad, and was able to do what the role play they needed him to do. That role play is critical to be able to say, ah, okay, the kid is calm enough to be able to learn the lessons I need to teach them, and be able to have that thinking brain be in control of the emotional brain.
And that's why the reset button isn't always working, because he's not necessarily completely regulated again. And on top of it, you've reset, but reset to what? He hasn't actually been worked through what's expected of him and given those skills. So that's a very important way of doing this. The only other thing I'm going to add to it, Matt, is that I think you're an incredibly observant father. I love how proactive you're being in this. I would like you to do one more thing to be really proactive, and that is start journaling this, okay? I want you to get a day planner, and one that has an hour by hour, and I want you and your wife writing down, when is he great and really in regulation? What's been going on? Has he just had protein? Has he had a good night's sleep? Have you had more time in with him? Whatever that is. And then when are you seeing...
I want to just stop you for just a second. You're asking him to track when it's going well.
When it's going well, and also... Okay, what were the circumstances around him getting salty with you, or him being nasty, or him flying off the handle? Is there something else going on? And I have to say, personally, we did this with one of our kids, and it helped us see. We have all these great psychological skills that we were using to help her contain her emotions, and something was still off, and it was through tracking it that I was able to see, no, there's a physical thing here, and it turned out that an old heart issue had kind of kicked in, even though her cardiologist thought it was wrong, and she was having horrible low blood pressure that literally told her body that she was dying, so of course she would panic and act out. So by really looking at this, you're going to be able to say, oh, well, maybe this child needs more protein. Maybe it's every time he eats this thing. Maybe he needs more sleep. Maybe we need more time together. But it's going to give you a wealth of information to prey on and work through in addition to these skill-building things that Greg is helping
you. So just to recap, number one, see behavior as a sign of regulation or dysregulation and work to get the kid re-regulated. Number two, teach him what to do instead of just what not to do. Three, track when he's working well and when he isn't. And number four, let's talk about the counseling issue, all right? And that you don't ever want to send a kid to individual therapy. It should be family therapy. Here's why. Because kids don't do well in individual therapy. They don't know what they need to get out of it. They can't follow through on it. They need mom and dad to know how to help them between sessions. And so if you're going to go to counseling, go to a good, faithful, Christian family counselor. Not somebody who just sees families. Somebody who's actually trained and been supervised in family therapy. Really important stuff. You can get a good referral from the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapy. You can work with us for Catholic Counselors, CatholicCounselors.com, or find a local referral. But make sure you're working with a family therapist who will see all of you, who's actually been trained and gotten supervision in family therapy, and who does respect your values. Go see them first, you and your wife. Talk to them about some of your biggest concerns and see how they respond to it. Make sure that you're getting faithful responses. And if you're struggling to find somebody locally, call us to the Pastoral Solutions Institute. We do this kind of work all the time in our telephone counseling practice. So just going to give you a couple of books here. Number one, I mentioned Parenting with Grace, A Catholic Parent Guide to Raising Almost Perfect Kids. You can pick that up off of our website, CatholicCounselors.com. Ross Green's book, The Explosive Child, terrific resource for a kid like yours, as well as I think How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk, also great classic parenting book that I think will be tremendously helpful for you. So those three titles, follow it up with that, Matt, and if there's more we can do to support you guys, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, we got to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about the things you'd like to improve on in your family life over the coming weeks and months. Give us a call, and let's talk about the ways that your family can get along better, love each other more, cooperate more effectively, share your faith more passionately, and just enjoy each other a lot more than you even do right now. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after this.
Have you fallen out of love with your spouse? Are you frustrated, hurt, or angry with each other? RetroVi can help. Let us show you new communication skills and conflict resolution techniques that can help rebuild a loving marriage relationship. There is an alternative to divorce. The next RetroVi programs in Southeast Michigan are January 18th in English and January 25th in Spanish. Visit helpourmarriage.org. That's helpourmarriage.org.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Our topics during Cresta in the Afternoon toggle between church teaching and then using that teaching to shine a light on our world. We'll look at Christ and culture, church and world, religion and public life, from abortion to Zechariah and everything in between. Biblical criticism, Hollywood productions, academic debate, family and love, prayer and spirituality.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
I saw a post on Facebook one day from my sister, and as I read it, I could imagine Jesus speaking those very words. It read, "Before you pray, believe." So I thought of Mother Mary, the perfect example of someone with true faith. Before you speak, listen. Jesus was not only a preacher, he listened. That's what being a true evangelizer is all about. Before you spend, earn. Well, in Hebrews it reads, "Keep your lives free from love of money and be content with what you have. Before you write, think." Well, I always pray and meditate and ask God to give me the words He wants others to hear and read. "Before you quit, try." Well, in Psalms it reads, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." "Before you die, live." Well, when it comes to living, God wants us to do that with love. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you about fantastic families today on More to Life.
And when we're talking about our social media, I really want to offer a special invitation to all of you to join us on social media, especially in the next few days, because next week, for all you moms out there, and that doesn't matter what age you're at or stage you're at with your kids, if you are a mom, I have a brand new resource coming to you next week that will be, you'll know, as soon as it hits social media, you'll know how to become part of it and hopefully be blessed by it every single week. And that will be next week. So join us on social media in the next few days so you can be part of it.
Well, of course, we'll announce it on the show as well. But yeah,
sure,
by all
will.
Means, follow us at Facebook. Facebook, it's More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram and Twitter at Catholic Counselors. With that, let's go back to the phones.
Okay, let's talk right now with Rachel, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, Rachel. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, second time caller. Love you all so much.
Well, thank you.
We live next door to my widowed father-in-law, and he remarried 3 years ago, and his new wife is disrespectful to the family. We hosted Thanksgiving this year, and she didn't attend. She chose not to walk next door and have dinner with all 40 family members who came into town. And so my father-in-law had everyone except us go over and see her, and the same thing happened at Christmas. She wants all the family's attention, but my husband refuses to put her before his dad. My loyalty is to my husband, and I hate seeing him fight his dad on this. So my question is it better for him to have this strained relationship with his father than no relationship at all?
Can I ask, I'm a little lost on the he refuses to put her before his relationship with his dad. How is that playing out? What does that look like? I'm lost there.
Well, yesterday we were able to give his dad a Christmas present, and his dad said, well, where's my wife's Christmas present? And my husband was like, your wife doesn't treat us right, so we're not going to give her a Christmas present. And so his dad's kind of forcing all of the siblings to give her attention and love, and it's a conflict because she doesn't return that. And it's not from what I understand, it's not the way that he raised them.
Okay, so we've got sort of a circular problem from what I'm hearing. Tell me if this is what it is. Is she's not pleasant. Let's just put it that way. And then your husband says, this isn't acceptable, so I'm going to pull farther away from this. Then your father-in-law gets mad because he wants everybody to love his wife. Then she's unpleasant, and this just goes around and around. Has it ever stopped at a point where your husband has been able to say, Dad, I love you, I want to include your wife, this is what I need from her to be able to heal this relationship, or has it not gone in that direction yet?
I know he said, I love you, but it's never, I want a relationship with your wife. Because this woman, you know, their mother had a very serious illness and died very quickly, so there's open wounds there where, why did he even have to remarry? He was living with his daughter. The family was taking care of him, and yet he chose to remarry, which he has every right to do, I understand. But no, I don't think...
Well, no, I mean, I get that there's a lot of emotional stuff there, but I think what Lisa's getting at, though, is that you can't just be spiteful, right? I mean, I recognize that she's disrespectful, that she's hurt you guys, and that there's a lot of stuff to work through. But you know, you have to be proactive about your response to that, so that you're actually saying to Dad, look, Dad, you know, we're really hurt by these behaviors or these things. How do you want us to handle it? And ignoring it is not an option.
Because the thing here, you know, Greg, you're using the word spiteful, but really, the spitefulness is coming out of a passive-aggressive way of handling this. And I've got news for you. Being passive-aggressive never, ever, 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 ever works. I want you to sit down with your husband and say, how would you feel better about this? What do you need from your dad? What do you need from this woman? So we can say to them, we we were blown away by how this all happened, and we got into a reactive place, and it hasn't been good from either side. This is what we need in order to start again and have a relationship. What do you need?
For
so at least you're starting with something
when you say,
positive.
When you say what you need, that can be confusing. So for instance, okay, you know, when we get together in this situation, it would really mean a lot if your wife would do this instead of that. Okay, you know, the concrete things that you can go to your father-in-law with and say, look, Dad, this has all been really hard. We want to try to work it out, but here's what we need to see. How do we get that? Okay, because not saying that and then not giving a Christmas present, that's passive aggressive and spiteful. Whether you mean it to be or not, it is. And so you need you owe it to yourself and to God and to them to give them a chance to at least work through this stuff in a forthright, virtuous, direct way. And if they refuse, well, then we can talk again. All right, call us back. If your dad says, no, you just have to ignore all that, or if she just, you know, throws you out of the house, okay, call us back. We'll figure it out from there. But the first step has to be going to Dad and saying, look,
respectfully and calmly, let's underline that.
This has all been really hard, but we want to try to move forward in a healthier way. Here's what we really need. You know, we need an apology for this, or we need...
I need to hear your story, Dad, on how you ended up in this place, because it really hurt when you just got married after Mom had been gone for such a short time.
Well, when we get together in this situation, I really need it to go this way instead of that way. How do we make it happen? Be concrete, be direct, and be solution-focused. We talked through some steps on how to make this happen, and God help me, these people are driving me nuts. Making Peace with Difficult People. It's a book I did for Crossroads Publishing. Sorry. It's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. I think it'll be a help to you there. But that's the first step. Go do that and let us know how it turns out. We'll coach you the rest of the way. Thanks for the call. We don't have a lot of time, but let's try to go to Donald, listening in Grand Rapids. Hey there, Donald. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Hi, Dr. Greg and Lisa. First time caller. I just started listening to your show about 6 weeks ago. And
thanks for coming along.
So, what can we do for you, Donald?
So, real quickly, let's just say that I have not lived a very virtuous life up to now, and I have a lot of children and a wife, and they've dealt with addictive behavior with me and a number of other things, and we almost divorced about a year and a half ago, and we were able to reconcile, and I moved back in about a little over a year ago, and my wife and I are doing better. We are in couples therapy, and that's going very well. But I have my children are all grown. My youngest is 20, and then I have another daughter who is 21, and then my oldest daughter still lives with us, which is another subject. But anyway, so they have a lot of hurt and resentment, and my 20-year-old daughter especially. Is carrying all this hurt and resentment around. She does not want to be in the same room with me. She will not really acknowledge me in any way. And I'm trying to find ways of reaching out to, well, each one of them and reconcile with them, but especially my youngest. I don't know the best way to do this.
I want to thank you. I'm going to jump in because I've only got about 30 seconds. I want to make sure I'm giving you something to work with here. I'm glad to hear that you're doing couples counseling. I'd love it if at some point you could bring the other kids in on that and really talk about how to reconcile with the whole family since you have that resource. But in the meantime, I'd really like you to invite your adult children to write you a letter. I'd like you to invite them to say, look, guys, and maybe your wife can help you with this, okay? But to communicate to them that you know that there's a lot of things that they need to say to you that they don't know how to say, and they don't know whether you'll even be able to hear it, but that you want to give them the opportunity to communicate that to you, and you're going to ask them to write a letter. What is it that they need you to hear? What is the pain that they are trying to express to you? What do they need to see from you moving forward? and to actually invite them to write it out to you. At least if you can get one of them to write something, then don't respond right away. Take it to your counselor and start figuring out how you can respond to that by writing back, and then finding step-by-step ways forward there to hopefully ultimately include them in the counseling so that you can reconcile with the family. The first step, though, has to be being willing to open up those doors and hear their story and show them that you are strong enough to accept their pain and help them deal with it and heal from it. If you can do that, Donald, you're going to be on a great path to healing those relationships with your adult kids. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to call us back here or reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com. That goes for all of you listeners as well. If you are looking to make a stronger, healthier family life in the coming year, take advantage of the resources we have at CatholicCounselors.com and get out there and celebrate the life that God
You've
has for you.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.